All right, guys, good morning again. Go ahead and find your seats. We're going to have more of an announcement later after the service about Light Up Walnut. Our coordinator is actually on the Chinese side giving that announcement and update, but we'll share more about that a little bit later. But we're just so thankful to God for what he did last night. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to get into God's word this morning. Father, thanks for an opportunity to connect, to be together as a church family. Thanks for yesterday. Thanks for the many conversations that we had, the prayer that we were able to pray for people yesterday, the people that have been distant from you or don't even know you or don't have a home church, lots of connections yesterday. So we pray that you would guide us into the future. Thanks for this opportunity now as we go to your word, and we just give this time to you and just thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I also just wanted to mention one thing. We've been praying for June for a while. She's been recovering from surgery, and she's here for the first time this morning after her surgery. So we welcome her back. And we're just so thankful for God's healing on her and continued healing. So we're continuing our Healthy Church series. I just felt like God was zeroing in on seven things that he wanted us to get healthier in. And not that we're unhealthy in those areas, but I just felt like that he wanted to speak into these seven things. And so this morning I'll continue that. And I'm just going to start out with an illustration. I'm just going to tell a corny joke, okay? So please bear with it, but it fits in perfectly with what this passage is about and what the message is about. I actually thought it was funny anyway, but when I told it to Evangeline, she didn't think it was that funny. But let's see what you guys think. All right, so there was a doctor and a patient. And so the patient goes into the doctor and says to the doctor, "Every single part hurts. Every single part of my body hurts." And the doctor was surprised, like, "Every single part of your body hurts? How is that possible? I've never heard of this before." But the patient said, "Every single part of my body hurts." And so the doctor said, "Okay, let's check this out." So he asked the patient to touch his head. So the patient touched his head. "Ow!" So he was in pain. And so the doctor said, "All right, touch your shoulder and see how that goes." So he touched his shoulder. "Ow!" And he said, "Okay, touch your knee and let's see how that goes." Touch his knee. "Ow!" And the doctor said, "Are you out of your mind? You have a dislocated finger." I tell this little corny joke because you're going to see in this passage, Jesus was speaking to a crowd of people, and he was telling them, "Hey, listen, focus on healing in one spot, and you're going to see healing come to the other pieces." Actually, the other pieces aren't even really hurting. It's this one spot that you need to focus in healing in. And Jesus gives a prescription to his followers, and God includes it in the scripture for us, that we would follow this prescription, that there will be healing to this one spot that brings healing to all. And in fact, actually, the other pieces aren't even actually hurting, but this one piece is hurting, and God is speaking to this about giving us a prescription for healing. All right, so Luke chapter 6, verse 38, that's where we're going to start. It would be helpful for you to turn in your Bibles here because Luke 6, 38 is going to be our main passage, but I'm going to ask you to look a little bit in the other pieces of Luke chapter 6. So we're going to start in verse 38. Okay, so just to set this up a little bit, Luke chapter 6, a big portion of it anyway, is a really famous sermon of Jesus. It's called the Sermon on the Plain. We would call it maybe Jesus' second most famous sermon, second to the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus is preaching, and a lot of people, the passage says, all the people from all over the place were gathering together, and Jesus was teaching them about life. And Jesus takes this opportunity to give them a prescription about healing in one place, in one piece, that's going to bring healing to all. Or again, it's not even hurting in the other places, but this is a really important piece of healing. Okay, so Luke 6, verse 38. Let's read this together. This is the words of Jesus, Jesus' second most famous sermon. Let's read it together. "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So Jesus is calling the ones who are following him, and he's teaching them how to live, and he's calling them to give and to give generously. And he says, as you give generously, it's actually going to be given back to you. And then, as Jesus often does, he uses an illustration to teach his followers. And so he gives them this illustration. And so the people in Jesus' time, they would be baking bread every single day. So they were using flour all the time. So this is a flour illustration. And just for the sake of clarity, I've brought a physical representation of this illustration that Jesus was giving. So he was telling them that, you know, there's a container of flour, and see here that, you know, I put a blue piece of tape here just so you can see that it's filled up to this line. And so Jesus says to them that he calls them to give, and then he says, as you give, it's going to be given back to you. And he tells them it's going to be given back in a measure that's going to be shaken together. So shaken up, to drop it down a little bit. And then he says that it's not just going to be shaken together, but it's going to be pressed down. So just press this down a little bit. And as you see that, as I'm pressing it down, it's dropping much lower below that blue line. And so Jesus was trying to tell them, give, and then it's going to be given back to you in this way. That's going to be shaken together, pressed down. And he says, it's going to, so that I can give you even more. And he says, even running over to a place that's to a point that it's overflowing. This is the way that I'm going to give back to you. And so he gives them this illustration about this exchange of give, and it will be given back. But of course, the million-dollar question is, what is it that Jesus is calling them, calling us, to give? Many of us are familiar with this passage. Probably you've heard about it, heard this passage used as a call to give money. Is this a tithing message? But I want to point us to just the verse right above this. So look in your Bibles to verse 37, the verse right above it. What is it that Jesus is calling us to give? And it says this, verse 37. And I'll just read the one sentence. It says, forgive, and you will be forgiven. It's not a call to give money, although there's other places in Scripture that calls us to that. But what Jesus is speaking here is a call to forgive generously, to offer forgiveness to other people generously, and then it's going to be given back in a way that's shaken together, pressed down, running over, overflowing. This is the way that Jesus is going to give back to us as we generously forgive others. But then this would also lead us to the next question, right, of what is it that Jesus is going to give back to us? We're called to forgive. We're called to release people, release situations, release bitterness, release unforgiveness to Jesus. What is it that God would give back to us in this way? So let's look at the beginning of this passage, the beginning of this sermon. Luke chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. So look up to the top of the chapter to what is happening in this context. Okay, Luke chapter 6, verse 17 to 18. This is the beginning of the sermon. So let's read this out loud together. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. The people that were gathered together for the sermon on the plain had gathered together because they needed healing. They were like that patient. They were hurting all over, and they were coming to be healed. Now, we know that Jesus, in other times, he laid hands on people, and they were healed. We believe in that. We practice that. But in this situation, when all these people were gathering together to be healed, Jesus didn't go and lay hands on them. Instead, he called them to generously forgive. Then it would be generously given to them in this way that they would be healed of their physical diseases and ailments. I was reading an article from Johns Hopkins University recently, and it said this: studies have found that the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health, lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels and sleep, and reducing pain, blood pressure, and levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. It's hurting all over. And Jesus is saying, let's zero in on one thing. Let's zero in on where your heart is at about forgiveness and offering it generously. Because as we focus in on that one thing, actually we begin to receive healing for all. The passage in Luke chapter 6, 17, 18, and you can look at the rest of 18 more. I'm not going to put it up on the screen, but actually talks beyond just the physical healing, said that actually there's deliverance that began to happen, just all this from forgiveness, from that one thing. 10 years ago, I had a really, I would call it a dramatic experience that rocked my world at the Anaheim Vineyard at a seminar with a pastor named R.T. Kendall. And it was a seminar about forgiveness, like a half-day seminar. Actually, there's some of us from our church actually went with me to that seminar. And the seminar was a half-day long, so I can't share everything with you today. But I found a clip that's less than 5 minutes long of R.T. Kendall just sharing a brief snippet of his story, a significant piece of his story, and some pieces of his teaching. And I just want to share this clip with you. This is R.T. Kendall, pastor at Westminster Chapel, or he was a pastor at Westminster Chapel in London, speaking about forgiveness. So take a look at a little bit of his story, a little bit about his points on forgiveness, and then I'll share a little bit more.
If you followed my ministry very much at all, chances are you will know the story that I tell everywhere, everybody. When my friend Joseph Tson, he's a Romanian, he now lives in America, happened to be in London years ago when I was at Westminster Chapel. During that particular time when Louise and I went through the toughest trial we'd ever gone through, what happened left me bitter, angry, disillusioned, almost demoralized. I felt I had no future. Joseph Tson, because I knew he wouldn't tell anybody, was one I chose to tell my story to. And if I'm honest, the reason I told Joseph what they did is that he would put his arm around me and say, RT, you ought to be angry. Get it out of your system. I wasn't prepared for what he said after I told him exactly what happened. If I could narrow the 25 years in London down to 15 minutes, they would turn out to be my finest hour, greatest word anybody ever said to me. And he said, RT, you must totally forgive them. For until you totally forgive them, you will be in chains. Release them, and you will be released. Nobody had ever talked to me like that in my life. Faithful of the wounds of a friend. He was a real friend. And I cannot thank God enough for Joseph Tson coming my way. I would hate to think of what my life would have been like, where I would be today, if Joseph Tson had not entered my life at that time. It was just a wonderful providence of God, the equivalent of our decision to go to England, our decision to go to Westminster Chapel. That's how big it was. Changed my life and my outlook. The thing is, I eventually, I don't say I did it in 10 seconds, but I eventually took his advice. I did it. And it happened right here. I never went to the people, ever. Didn't even come close. Wasn't even tempted to. It happened here. But once I did it, my outlook changed. My ministry changed. Thoughts came to me. You could call it anointing, whatever term you want to use. All I know is I began to get insight and blessing, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I say that because God has a plan for your life, anybody listening to me right now. And unless you're very unusual, you have a story to tell. And I wouldn't be surprised if I heard your story. I would think, I didn't go through anything compared to what you've been through. That would not surprise me at all. All I know is that if you've got a story and you're angry and you're bitter, and maybe you have thought that your situation would be the exception to the rule, and if there is such a thing as a loophole and you don't have to forgive, you've found it. And I would understand that. Most of us feel that way. We think what I have been through is the one exception to the rule. But I have to say, sorry, there are no exceptions. But in a way, I shouldn't say sorry, because it's the best thing that can happen to you. Let me put it to you this way. The greater the suffering, the greater the anointing. And if what you have been through, in the light of what you yourself have experienced, and you can forgive that? Congratulations, because you have just guaranteed yourself a greater blessing than you could ever imagine. What happened to me will happen to you. May not mean that you're going to be a minister or an author or travel around the world, but God has a plan for your life, and you will never outdo what God would do for you, through you, until you do what I had to do. Totally forgive them. Let them off the hook. Well, that's all I'm going to say for today. At this moment, God bless you.
One more thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not condoning what the other person or persons have done to us. Those things are wrong. Those things could be evil. But forgiveness is turning over that unforgiveness, that bitterness, that resentment, turning that over to God, to the one who can deal with it, right? Instead of rehearsing it and nursing it, plotting the revenge, the retaliation, turning all of that over to God and saying, I'm not going to keep on nursing that and all that pain and all of those things that are inside. I'm going to hand that over to Jesus. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. I turn that over to Jesus. And the reward is huge, right? This passage talks about it. The reward is overflowing. The reward, as Luke chapter 6 talks about, is healing. It's physical healing. Whereas R.T. Kendall talks about, the reward is anointing. So 10 years ago, I was there at the Anaheim Vineyard. And so R.T. Kendall preached this and more things than this. It was the half-day seminar, like I said. And then he gave an altar call and called us to come forward if we were choosing to forgive. If we're going to make that conscious choice, because forgiveness is an act of the will, and we're going to forgive. And so we called us forward. Hundreds of people went forward. So hundreds of people came forward. And then, you know, it was a very serious, sacred, holy moment as people were making the decision to forgive. But then he just kind of paused things. And then he noticed that Lance Pitlock, the senior pastor of the Anaheim Vineyard, had come forward. So in the midst of this kind of holy, serious moment, and some of you guys know Lance, he comes around sometimes. As he came forward, R.T. paused everything, and he said, Lance, I notice that you're here. I'm thankful that you came forward and that you're setting an example that the call for forgiveness is for everyone, whether we've been a Christian a long time, whether we're a senior pastor, whatever the case is, that the call to forgive is for all of us. As Jesus preached this message to a crowd that was coming from every single direction, preparing this message for me was a really interesting experience, because I wasn't prepared for what happened as I was preparing this message. Because God started convicting my heart. And I had that powerful experience 10 years ago with the Anaheim Vineyard. But God was speaking my heart about actually forgiving those same people and those same situations. Another thing that R.T. Kendall preaches about is that the call to forgive is actually a lifetime commitment. Because you know life comes up, right? Things happen that bring back the memories, that bring back the pain. The enemy wants to sneak in. And then we need to once again make that choice to forgive and say, I'm not going to nurse all that stuff. That's too painful. I can't even handle all of that. I'm going to turn that over to Jesus, even if it creeps up again. And I was shocked also in the course of preparing this message about the new things, the new people, the new situations that I needed to forgive. An act of the will to say, I'm not going to hold on to all that unforgiveness, that bitterness, those situations. Think about retaliation. I'm going to hand that over to Jesus. And listen, the reward is huge. It's overflowing. It's physical healing. R.T. Kendall says, congratulations. You now have the opportunity for anointing to get poured into your life in this kind of measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. And that's what God wants to do for us and in our lives and in our situations. So as we close, I just want to call us to examine our hearts and where our hearts have been. Are we nursing some resentment, some retaliation that we could turn over to Jesus today? You know, actually, I just want to share one more thing in the process. This has just been a crazy message to prepare for me. I also felt like God reminded me in the process of this, of preparing the message. This message is a call to forgive, to give, right? To give forgiveness generously. But we can't outgive God. He's the greatest giver of all. He's the greatest forgiver of all. I felt like God was reminding me, too, of things that I had confessed to him along the way. And the enemy wants to remind us of those things, even that we have confessed to God along the way, of how wrong it was and how bad it is and how harmful it is and how we have to keep on, you know, paying the consequences over and over again. And I felt like God reminded me, he's the greatest giver of all. He's the greatest forgiver of all. And some of us today need to forgive ourselves, because to know that Jesus already forgave us. And the Bible talks about as far as the east is from the west, that's how he has removed, how far he has removed our transgressions from us. And I think some of us, and I did too, need to hear that this morning about God's forgiveness, Jesus' forgiveness. That's good news. That's why we call it good news. Because it'd be unimaginable that Jesus would forgive us of that stuff. But he did, because he's the greatest giver of all. Jesus gave this message to us and called us to forgive. But the manner in which he did it for us, we would never be able to imagine the overflowing grace that he has for us. So let's come before the Lord. And if you could just close your eyes and just make this a private moment for people. And I'll ask the worship team to come forward at this time too. I felt like the Lord wanted to give us a definitive moment right now, right here this morning. Forgiveness is an act of the will. It's a choice. And he wants to give us a definitive moment to forgive. And so I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. If you're making that decision, you might be the only one in the room. I have a feeling you won't be the only one in the room, but I just want to say that you would make that definitive decision. I'm going to forgive. I'm not going to nurse that resentment, that bitterness. I'm going to turn it over to Jesus. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. I'm going to release that person. And I'm going to make a commitment, even a lifetime commitment. R.T. Kendall talks about how he put a couple of people on his daily prayer list, the people that hurt him the most, because it's that radical of that decision to forgive. So definitive moment right now. There's some people, situations that you need to forgive. As an act of the will, and making a choice this morning that you would forgive. If you would just stand up right now and just say, make that statement to God. You're just communicating to God. Just everyone keep your eyes closed. But just if you're making that and you're communicating to God, if you would just stand and just say that to the Lord. I'm going to give 10 more seconds. If that's you, you're going to make that decision to forgive, and you're going to release it to God. You're not going to nurse that resentment. You're going to turn it over to God. You're going to turn over that person, that situation to God, the one who can deal with it, the one who can handle it, handle all that pain and all that stuff that comes along with it. You standing, just communicating to God that you're standing in his grace. In his overflowing grace. In a measure that's shaken together, pressed down, running over, overflowing. That's what it gives to you. Father, we just commit these situations into your hands. We turn them over. In fact, we just hand them over. The bitterness, the resentment, the stuff that goes on inside. Thoughts of retaliation and revenge, we turn it over to you. And we also receive the reward of overflowing grace, overflowing healing, overflowing anointing to enter in. As we close, we're just going to sing a song that